chapter 18. I told you tonight would be like a workshop. Thank you, young ladies. We are going to have a number of questions. We are going to go over. You'll see them actually on your sheet there tonight that you have been given. And so they are some of the questions that we are going to deal with tonight. I don't, in a sense, have a sermon per se. The sermon will be developed kind of through these questions and the answering these questions, and hopefully you'll be able to help in answering these questions here tonight and giving some thought to it. We're going to use in particular the area of cheating tonight, and that may happen. I think about this. That may be a child in school, but that can also be an adult at the workplace, can it? Sometimes there's some cheating type elements going on at the workplace. Sometimes we cheat the boss or the owner out of time, or we cheat them of some of their product or whatever it may be. So there can be other applications. And also maybe by going through this little bit of a workshop here tonight, you may be able to see in other areas, maybe dealing with anger, maybe dealing with child that doesn't share toys, to be able to think more and get more to the heart of the issue there. So I'm hoping that we don't just walk away knowing only a little bit more about cheating and what it is and how to combat it and where to turn to the scriptures regarding it, but hopefully we'll be able to flesh that out in other areas of life as well. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our workshop here together, our study tonight. Dear Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Faith is the victory, and we thank you for that. And it's through faith, not only that we were saved, but also that we walk. Father, just pray now that we'll gain some helpful insights and knowing how to handle matters wisely. You say that in Proverbs, that we should handle a matter wisely. And so maybe it's a particular area one or more of our children have trouble with, specifically in cheating, or maybe just the way we can take some of the principles and apply it to other areas, even for our own life, and to expose our own heart. And so, Father, guide us through the time that we have remaining together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take you to some familiar verses, verses I've talked to you about it before. Let's stay in that realm of cheating. Parent, if you see or hear that your child has cheated, I found it interesting when we were over in Romania, and I'm sure I've shared this story somewhere in a Sunday school class, a Wednesday night, or whatever it was, but I was over in Romania, of course, with Karen and the family, and I was invited by Brother Heisey to go along to their Bible Institute, and actually it was the final exam that they had before these young men, and a lot of them actually middle-aged to older men, would be ready to go out into the ministry. There was probably 10 to 12 there that night taking their final exam. This is it. When they're done that, their churches will pray and try to direct them into ministry. And so they're taking a final exam. It's kind of a comprehensive exam. And as they're taking the exam, I would notice whenever Brother Heisey would make his way to the front of the classroom, one of the men would hold his test sheet up, and all the other men behind him would be jotting down his answers. And I'm thinking, whoa, gypsies are gypsies, aren't they? And they even steal from their own. Anyway, and as I am watching this, I'm thinking, you know, these men are about to enter into the ministry, and they're cheating to get there. And so upon partway through the test, I'm able to get Brother Heisey's attention, and he comes over and so just quietly spoke to him about what I observed. And then he went directly to the front of the class and began to scold them in gypsy, so I had no idea. A lot of chuckles, though. kind of the child getting their hand caught in a cookie jar and not knowing how to respond. Not out of shame and humility, they bowed their head and confessed. They just kind of laughed and snickered and looked around at each other. You don't know. It's not a single age or a single person that's really struggling to battle with this. And let me say, parent, if you see or hear that your child is cheated, I want you to first take heed to yourself. The Word of God says that. We need to guard how we respond. We don't want to get in the flesh. It's no good sinning against them that have sinned. We're not going to make anything better in that. In fact, we're going to make things worse. We shouldn't say, make these accusations. You aren't going to learn anything by doing that. Well, yeah, they kind of know that. Instead of berating them, I think you really need to stop and think about what would be a good biblical way to expose their heart and really what's going on. Let me say to you, cheating usually isn't the root of the problem. It may be something you've observed and caught and needs to be dealt with, but there's usually something deeper going on, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We don't want to attack the person, we want to attack the problem. Look what it says in Proverbs 18:13. Again, I've used these verses at least 4 or 5 times in messages over the last couple of years. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. I think even in a case like this, before you begin to deal with it, you have to hear from the child of what's going on in their heart and life, that cheating has become an issue. And so you are not to answer, you are not to address even the problem, I don't think, before exposing. So how do I answer it? You don't answer a matter before you hear it. Well, look at verse 15. You got to ask some questions. You got to expose their heart. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And so I think it's very appropriate then at that point, knowing you have a child that's cheated, to begin to ask some questions. And then that we have a verse 17 that we would also add before I make sure I hear a matter fully before I answer it, how to make sure everybody is involved is present. There might be others involved in the cheating. I actually had a history teacher in high school who was also a member of my church. He was known for being very, very strict. And I knew that. And I knew since he went to my church, I better be a very, very good student. Because I figured what I did in school would eventually be talked about in church. So he was also kind of crafty. I'm going to use that word. I don't know what other word to use, but on test day, he would drop an answer key that wasn't correct in the hallway. And see who would answer with those exact answers. Is there a better word than crafty? I don't know. And you know what? Every time somebody, and usually several students, because first hour, somebody, hey, such and such got the answer key. Well, I'm taking the third hour. Can I get it from you? And somebody else was taking the sixth hour of the day. And so usually there was several students that got caught by the end of the day for their cheating. So sometimes there's more than one person involved. But let's look at our first question. And it really addresses what questions should we ask? Again, we should be asking questions initially, not making necessarily accusations or condemnations. You might feel like saying, well, you're not supposed to cheat. They know that. Again, you're not going to learn anything doing that. They probably understand that. You need to stop cheating. No duh. Can I put it in? You kids understood that, right? No duh. Yeah. But what questions, if you have a child that's caught in cheating, what would be some good questions to ask? Where do we start? And again, what's our goal? Our goal is to expose what's going on in their heart. Our goal isn't to make sure they pass all their tests. Our goal isn't to make sure they get the honor roll. Maybe that's other goals. But the goal here is to expose what's going on. So how can we, what can we ask to kind of expose what's going on in their heart? Who'd be the first? Brother David. Okay. Brother David talks about the why. We might change that a little bit. If you get why questions, you might get because answers. So you might begin to ask, what then? How can we finish that? Instead of just asking why did you cheat? Let's kind of think that through a little bit more. Brother Andy. Okay. Again, he asked a why question. We're going to try to get away from that. Good. Everybody's going to say, okay, I'm not putting my hand up. He's shooting them all down. But let's try to rephrase that. Can we rephrase that why question? He says, why do you feel the need to cheat? Okay, what could we be asking? Okay, Lex? Okay, what was the purpose? Okay, good. Brother David, you had your hand back up? Yeah, what did you hope to gain? Somebody else. Becky?
What made you think you had to do that?
Okay, what made you think that you had to do that? Let me see. I think I might be going there next. I don't want to necessarily jump ahead of myself. Yeah, let me not go forward any further there. What other questions might you ask? Anybody else? Brother Brad? Yeah, what were you hoping to accomplish? Brother Jim, you had your hand up?
Well, I was going to say, what could you accomplish, or why? What are you going to accomplish from doing this? Or what good can come out of this?
Okay, what good can come out of this? Were you glorifying God when you were cheating? Do you think God was pleased by your cheating? Are some of the questions again. And again, what we're trying to do is expose our... I'm not going to stay there or dwell there any longer because I think we'll understand better what questions, unless somebody really has... Karen, you have something?
I think maybe a little more is, what were you doing last evening when you should have been studying?
Oh boy, she's really getting to the heart. What were you doing last night when you could have been, should have been studying? Sometimes reading books, right? I won't look at anybody in particular. Sometimes children get caught up even doing something that seems to be good, fine, but instead of getting their own work accomplished. Again, what we're doing by asking questions is really getting beyond the cheating to what's going on in the heart. Because we can actually get a child to stop cheating but not change their heart. And it's going to then come out in other areas of their lives. And so we want to begin to ask questions, and sometimes they're very practical questions, and sometimes they're more along the lines of spiritual questions. Let me ask you this, then. Let me ask you a question. What are some of the reasons children might cheat? And I have at least four solid, and I know there's more than that. Brother Donnie, somebody who's practiced it, we want to hear right from him. No, just kidding. Brother Donnie. Okay. They're kind of following the example, maybe.
Like income tax.
Parents talk
about cheating
on
income tax.
Yeah.
Business, did this.
And kids are
fast learners.
Ouch. Boy, he's getting to the heart, isn't he? This might be something they've kind of picked up along several times. In watching Andy Griffith, tries to expose Opie's heart, and he says, "Well, Dad, didn't you?" Well, you know, sometimes they do. Good point. What else? What are reasons children might choose to cheat, Brother Jim?
Well, we place them in the school group. Some students do this so they get an A on the exam.
Okay, simply to get a good grade, Brother David. I think you had your hand up over here. Okay, sometimes the peer pressure, it's the cool thing to do. So what else? Yes, Samantha. Afraid of something, like? Yeah. Good. I think she brings in two things. I was pressing that a little bit more, and good. What came out, because sometimes they don't want to fail themselves. Sometimes it's an expectation from parents. And before I say anything else, I'll just let us say more. And anybody else? Who else? Brother Mike. Okay, sometimes it's laziness. Laziness on two ends, by the way. I think it's sometimes laziness in study, but haven't you ever been there and you just don't feel like thinking? Maybe you did study, but you come to exam day and then you didn't have your cup of coffee, I don't know, whatever, and you just don't feel like thinking and you're lazy just in that moment. Maybe you did. I've heard of children who they've studied and studied hard and then end up cheating. And they're like, well, why did you cheat? You studied all last night. I just didn't feel like thinking. It was easier. Okay, what else? Anybody else? Yeah, Brother Chris.
Pride.
Pride, Pastor Terry. Excellent, excellent. And don't let that go. He said it's a lack of discipline. We'll talk about that later when we talk about how can we help a child then in this type of situation. We're going to get really practical. The next to last question on your sheet, and that could be something that we bring out. A child doesn't know how to study, and so they cheat because they really don't know how to study. Maybe they're cheating because they don't understand this type of math. Maybe they get other types of math. They just don't understand it. And so they're thinking, in order to get through, I don't want to fail, like Samantha talked about. I don't want to displease my parents. They've been pushing me about my grade. I can't stay on the football team if I don't get a good grade, depending on what school, maybe because of a parent's guidelines or maybe because of the school's guidelines. In order to stay on the team, I've got to make sure I pass. I won't be able to get into college if I don't pass. If my marks aren't high enough, I'm not going to be able to get to the college. So again, just because a child cheats, it's not all just one set answer why they're doing it. Maybe they just feel overpushed by the parent. Maybe they feel overpushed by a coach, depending if they're involved in sports. Maybe they're just really pushing themselves to the max. Maybe they aren't disciplined well enough to study. Maybe they are too lazy to study, just not studying. Maybe they just don't want to think that day. And they're just looking for the easy way out. Maybe following the example of their parents, hey, I see my parents cutting corners and getting away with it. So again, we're trying to expose the heart. Just because your child cheats doesn't mean it's a clear cut, okay, your child cheats, this is what's going on in their life. No, it could be a number of different, do you see that by the second thing here? There could be a number of different things. Same thing with anger. Or same thing with stealing. Or same thing with other problems within the home. It's not a clear cut, everybody that's anger has an anger issue has all the same problems, root heart problems. Not everyone that's stealing has the same heart problems. Not everyone doing sin has the same heart issue, and that's why they're doing it. So again, I think we need to flesh that out a little bit more and get to the heart of the issue. Then let me ask you, what is cheating? What is the sin that's actually being committed? Now let's just put it in plain English first, before we try to maybe put a biblical doctrine to it. What is cheating? Relax. Okay, it's an honesty issue. Good. I like the fact you brought that out, Brother Brad. Okay, yeah, and so if you're not giving something to somebody that they're owed, that you'd call that what? What? Stealing. Okay? So we're talking about, and I think we've already hit on the majors, we can talk about a little bit more here, but when we talk about what is cheating, cheating is taking from someone to deceive someone else into thinking this is what you know. That we're kind of getting to. What else? Anything else you would add to that? What cheating really is, Brother David?
It's lying.
Good. You say, well, I didn't say, but you did. You may not have verbally, but by writing it down, you are conveying this is my knowledge. Now, I found it interesting just talking to Abby a minute ago, and I probably won't have this exactly right, but Abby's right now taking the test for being a paramedic, and this Friday, be praying for her as she takes her first test for being a paramedic. And Abby says that she has to proctor this. She and I were texting about this earlier in the week, and she has to proctor the test, and that means that she has to sit there with like a Skype, and the teacher, they can actually able to watch you. But Sonia added tonight, I don't fully under, but you have to do it with a mirror behind you, because otherwise you could have all kind of cheat sheets behind the Skype, you know. And so you have to have a mirror behind you. And I might not have all the details correct, but again, they're making sure the answers you're giving are the ones that are your answers, not someone else's, or not cheating through that. So, okay, so then cheating is what? So we can name it as what kind of sins? Let's name it again. Cheating is what? What sin is cheating? It is stealing. It is lying. It is deceiving. Okay? Turn with me to Leviticus 19. Never thought I'd find my answer here. Leviticus 19. I was exposed this morning. Boy, the deacons read me the riot act. They said, now we know where you're getting your messages. Karen's writing them. Well, guess what? I had her help me with this one too. In part, I knew that when we were down doing the teacher's conference, Karen was taking one of my lessons, because part of what we were dealing with, what were sins like this in the classroom, and helping the teacher to know how to expose the heart of the child, and helping the teacher to know how to biblically understand what's going on. And so I knew Karen, with the ladies, one of the sessions was going further into the cheating than I was. I was dealing with another topic totally that day. And so I asked Karen, I borrowed her notes and was looking over it, and doing some cross-references and some thoughts. Here are some verses. I want you to know that I'm not cheating on my sermons, okay? I want you to know that. It just sounds like I'm cheating now, getting the answers from Karen. Here's two answers I didn't get from her, okay? Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10:9 says this, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." There's a difference between walking uprightly and perverting your ways. Proverbs 28:18 also says, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall." And again, we can take that and apply in many different areas. A person that's cheating is not walking uprightly. They're perverting their way. Okay? Look at Leviticus 19:11. Probably the most comprehensive verse in all the Bible that we could apply toward cheating. "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely or be deceiving, neither lie one to another." I actually had all the components before I found the verse. As I kind of fleshed this out and thought through it, and we had actually talked about it a little bit down in Florida and all, we had come to the conclusion that cheating was basically stealing. You're taking somebody's answers that aren't yours. You're deceiving your teacher, and more than that, even lying to your teacher by conveying the message that they are yours. And so I had those three components already in my mind, and then I found this verse which mentions all three in this short, compact verse. Leviticus 19:11, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely," nor the idea of deceiving, "neither lie." And so one of the places you could directly take a child to and help them understand what is going on, the sin that they are actually committing, so that they see that God is not glorified. God is not pleased by this. In fact, God would command them not to cheat. Exodus 20 says, "Thou shalt not steal." Exodus 20:15. Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more," talking about laboring with his hands, but also it could be an admonition of taking something that isn't yours even as an answer. Titus 2:10, not purloining. And again, that has the idea of embezzling or taking something that isn't yours, but showing all good fidelity. Again, having good faith. We sang here this evening about our faith and walking in our faith. And so again, as a parent, you have to then search for, okay, I can talk to my child about, you know what you're actually doing is you're stealing. You're taking something that isn't yours. You're deceiving or even lying to your teacher by conveying the idea that this is something that is yours. Why not one to another, says in Colossians 3:9, seeing that you have put away the old man with his deeds. What other, can you think of any other verses that may be helpful along this lines? Brother Jim? Yeah. Yeah. So, good. Yeah. They're all blanketed under the idea of being unrighteousness. Anyone else? A verse that might come to your mind, even if you don't remember the reference? Brother Donnie? There you go. Good. And when I was searching verses several times, other verses in the commandments came in my cross-referencing. And so, good. Anyone else? So again, no matter what the sin is, what we want to do is begin to ask questions, and we want to begin to think through, what is this, actually? What is wrong with this? Is God against this, or is this a gray area? I think we've become very clear, cheating is not a gray area. It's something that's definitely a sin against the Lord. So then, in the future, how can we plan to make changes in their lives? What can we do? Now, this is going to go back. If a child's cheating because they don't know how to study, or if a child's cheating because they're too lazy to study, they're playing video games, they were doing something else, child's just fitting into the crowd, but what can we do to make sure to help that child? Again, grace is giving them help. We're not just going to leave them to themselves, I hope. What else can we do to help them so in the future they don't go back to this practice? Brother Greg, do you have your hand up? Okay. Pray with them regarding that, and I would be a good admonition. I'm going to pray with you about this. I'm going to pray for you about this, and at times even pray with them about this. Hey, I know you have a test coming up tomorrow. Let's go ahead and pray this evening before you get to your studies, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help you so that you don't turn to doing that again. Good. Somebody else. Caleb. Okay, you could get them to memorize verses regarding that, and maybe even put that before them so that when they're studying, and if they're tempted in any way to cheat, maybe even have those verses there. Good. Somebody else. Yes, Marla. Do your two girls learn differently? Yeah. And I think if I would go around the room talking to various parents, your children may learn differently than someone else. If you only have one child, or if you have several, they may even learn differently. So again, I think sometimes they're cheating because they just don't understand. It's not a fact that they're lazy. They've been trying. That's different than being merely lazy. And so I think Barlett's right, and we need to sometimes invest some of our own time in aiding them and helping them to figure out how they can learn and go through the process of learning that material. And it may actually be different for math than it is history. Because some subjects are more of a recall. You memorize it and recall it. You memorize and recall it. Some of it is actually you're working through the problem. And so different subjects. You may ask your child, if I understand it correctly, you got caught cheating on your math test today, right? Yes, it did. Have you been cheating on other exams? No. Well, what made, I'm trying to not ask that why question. What made you cheat in the math exam, but yet, well, I don't understand this. Or I don't like my teacher. It is not clear when he or she teaches. And so again, you're getting a little bit more, you don't just have a child that's lying or cheating everywhere. You may find you have a child that's only cheating in one subject because they're just not getting one subject. You might say, well, I don't understand that subject either. Well, maybe your mate does, or maybe you get a tutor to help, or even talk to the teacher about, my child isn't getting it. What can I do to help them to be able to get the... Are you getting what I'm saying here? Again, we don't want to just throw them under the bus. I can't believe you cheated. You're humiliating us. And now other students are... And that's about us, not them. And so what we need to do is attack the problem, not the person. And begin to try to understand a little bit more. And if they say, well, last time I came home with a bad grade, you were really upset with me. And you said this. So all of a sudden, they may be cheating because of the pressure of the parent. So a parent might have to swallow hard. And I did say that, but a good name's rather to be chosen. And a parent may understand, well, I've been putting too much pressure on the child. The child equated, in order to make mom and dad happy, I'm just going to have to cheat my way through this. Anybody else? Again, what can we do? Brother Jim?
I'm just sitting here and meditating on all the things that we're offering to explain why children are cheating. I think sometimes, like you said, we don't want to attack the child, but when we talk to the child, we should ask him, do you know that this is sin? You know that all sin is against God? You know that you're grieving the heart of God who loves you? So it
right.
Helps them to examine their heart, and it's not what we do against man, it's what we do against God.
Right. But I want us to understand, too, we have to address that, but we have to do more than that. If we merely put a child really under now condemnation before the Lord, which they do have to recognize, it's a sin before the Lord, needs to be confessed. And that's one way we can help them. But we may have to help them to learn how to schedule their time. We may have to help them to learn to become more diligent. We may have to help them in that subject to see that instead of waiting till the night before, they actually need to start a couple of nights before. And to begin to intervene and to help them. And again, if it's an anger issue, if we understand now the reasons they're getting angry, then we can help them before the situation begins to implode or explode. And if it's a stealing issue, other stealing, physical stealing of items, again, we can then help them to see where they need to trust in the Lord. And God will give them every good gift, and every perfect gift cometh from above. You think you really have to have this to be happy, but I want you to know that God will help you, and so you may need to then make those applications in other areas. Anybody else want to add something here? Brother Nathan? Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, very good point, and I want to kind of build on Nathan's point, kind of that fear not wanting to ask for help. And somebody mentioned earlier peer pressure, and if they do feel bullied in school, the big buzzword these days, sometimes children are cruel, are they not? And especially if you're not doing well, they can be really cruel. And so just to get pass so that they're not, you know, being the ones found out to be always failing and kids, they're stupid, they're dumb type comments, which happen in school. I know they shouldn't happen in sermons, but they happen in school. They're cheating so they don't hear those kind of comments. Again, the peer pressure, it's humiliating, don't want to ask for help. And so what we're going to do is step in and try to help them. In the very end, we need to teach them then also about trusting in the Lord, about praying, asking the Lord for help, about just being honest before the Lord. Lord, I need your help, or I'm not fully understanding this. Again, then we can get them better teaching, extra teaching for future tests and so forth. But a child, Proverbs 3:5, it's a pretty simple verse. Many people already know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. I didn't choose that verse because lean not into thine own understanding sounds like cheating. I'm just talking about they need to just learn how to trust in the Lord when they get the situation, because they're going to find situations in the workplace. They're going to want to fudge numbers so it looks like they're not falling behind everyone else. They're going to get to other places in life where they're tempted to cheat just in a little bit of a different way. And so what we want to do is to help them. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I know that verse doesn't deal specifically with cheating, but what's it saying? It's saying it's better to be poor but yet have integrity than to be rich and to be perverse in your ways. And the child has to ultimately understand, you know what, it would be better to fail and please the Lord than to pass and to displease the Lord. Because then actually what a failing grade does is expose you need help. And so again, this is just kind of a workshop tonight where I hope we understand we need to get to the heart. Not every child is going to cheat for the same reason. So now that we've exposed this a little bit more, we're not going to take the time to do it, but there are other questions you could ask. How long have you been cheating? You may find out they've been doing this for 5 years. This has become a habit for them. They found this a lot easier than studying. You may find they're only cheating, again, ask the question, you were cheating in this, or are you cheating in other grades as well? Are you cheating with other teachers if they're in the high school? Are there other students involved in your cheating? Do other students know that you're cheating? Because again, sometimes then there's things that need to be confessed and made right before others. And there are other areas in our lives. But again, I want us to be able to learn how to get to the heart. And our ultimate goal is that they would glorify God. So please, as you face this in the days to come, talk to your children. Don't attack them, but ask the questions to expose what's going on in the heart. And then ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Identify then what are the root problems. Try to help them with the root problems to make the changes they need to make and help them to confess the sins that they've actually committed. It may be something that needs to then be confessed before a teacher, an instructor, or it may just need to be dealt with personally and privately. But may we learn to get to the heart of the issue. Karen, anything else you addressed when you spoke with the ladies down there? Okay, I thought I'd just see if Karen had anything else to add there. Let's close with a word of prayer.